If you're scared to say your price, your patients are probably going to be scared to pay your price. So
I
what
love
that
that.
means is get comfortable with your fee, believe that you're worth your fee, believe in your fee.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Do you ever wonder or feel like your schedule is totally full or pretty much full, but then you look at your bank account and it says something different? Today, we're going to call out four reasons that your practice could be stuck at 100K or less per month and how to fix them. Because guess what? No one wants to work their butts off and stay broke.
Welcome back to the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm Meredith, and today I'm talking with T-Bone about the four big revenue killers that keep practices from breaking the six-figure mark per month. So we'll share some great examples, forwards and backwards, of what looks good and what doesn't. So before we get into it, we'll show you some scripts that you can use. We'll have a few laughs along the way, and we'll share some of
That usually means they're going to make fun of me, right?
Right, I was going to say, and we'll share a few mistakes along the way.
As always, we're not here to sugarcoat it. This is going to be direct, practical, and probably sometimes a little uncomfortable, but that's what it takes to grow because if we're not getting uncomfortable, we're probably not going to be growing. So, Meredith, let's get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we always talk about this, but I think number one we'll say is not having those new patients there.
Yeah. So lever number one is to grow your practice, to hit benchmarks, to hit new personal records. In dentistry, and honestly in any business, you've got to have new customers. You got to have a flow of new customers. And we talk about this till I'm blue in the face about prioritizing spots for new patients. And the challenge becomes in mature practices is that we get so many recall patients that we choke our flow of potential new patients. So, number one I look at from a new patient perspective is, are we choking out the potential for new patients to come in? And then number two part of that is maybe they say, you know what? I have the blocks, but I'm not filling the blocks. And then I look at it like, okay, so we need to get new blood coming through the practice. So either we got to look at some marketing options, maybe we have to look at some insurance
Yeah.
options,
Do you know
the
what
insurance.
my favorite one is? Asking the patients that you like,
Yeah.
the patients you've done big cosmetic cases on, the patients who need dentistry, the patients who have been happy in the practice, ask them if they have any friends that need a new dental
Yeah.
home.
And you bring that up, and there's a kind of a third place I'd like to put some attention to, and that's modernization of making it easy to get into your practice.
Yeah.
I know we're having an initiative in our practice that we're focused on implementing online scheduling so that we can make it easier for our patients to get into the
Yeah.
practice. And so maybe you have patients that are calling and you're not answering the phones. Maybe you have patients that are choosing other places because they make it easier to schedule in your practice. So it could be, hey, I don't have enough spots for new patients.
Yeah.
It could be, I don't have enough volume for new patients. Or it could be as simple as, hey, you know what? I'm just not making it easy to become. Because at the end of the day, like my practice is open 7 to 3.
Right.
So that means between 3 p.m. and 7 a.m., nobody's answering the phones.
Right.
And that means if you have a job and you call at 5 o'clock or after 5 o'clock,
Right.
nobody's answering the phone.
Yeah.
And so we can only schedule the ones that call at the convenient times. And I want to fix that problem in our practice. So, I one of the, what I and then I said insurance, right?
No, you said e-insurance.
I said insurance. That's a
The
nod to
I word.
Jesse. That's a
Yeah.
nod to Jesse. I know what many of you are thinking, and I hear it all the time, and I think it myself. When we say the word insurance or considering adding a new plan, I want to be clear. I'm not telling you to add a new plan. I'm just saying maybe you need to be open to it if you have a new patient flow issue. But here's what I'll tell you, and I learned this very early in my career from very, very difficult experience, that $500 from Delta for their crown, and it's much more now, is better than $0 from no patients and an empty chair. So, you know, I don't want to get into fixed overhead and all of that stuff, but sometimes insurance is a means to an end. I don't want it to be the end, but we need to think about that. So let's kind of give a framework for this, okay?
I was going to say, I can be the new patient, or you can be the new patient. I can be the front office if you want to role play a good and a bad scenario.
Well, that sounds like that. Let's do that, okay? So what would a bad new patient call look like?
Thank you for calling Raleigh Dental Arts. This is Meredith.
Hey, I'd like to become a new patient there.
Oh, okay. Well, we're very booked out. We're very busy. Do you have insurance?
Actually, I don't have insurance.
Oh, good, because we're probably not in network with your insurance anyways. But
Meredith, you really think this is what the calls sound
our
like?
Our next available new patient appointment would be 7 weeks to 7 months out.
Well, that sounds like you guys are plenty busy. I'll just call somewhere else.
Okay, I'm so sorry. You know, if another, you know, you decide you want to wait for us, we're a great place to come, then we'd love to have you.
No, I don't want to wait. What does something good look like, Meredith?
Yeah, so ideally, outside of the role playing, ideally we want to have an opening within 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably two. I used to be 1 week. Yeah. Let's go to 2 weeks.
Realistically, now. 2 weeks, yeah. I think. And we like to schedule these in different places. So therefore it's not like we see all new patients at 7 a.m. Because we do have multiple hygienists, and think about it. A doctor shouldn't be seeing multiple new patients at the same time, a line at the CBCT, a treatment corridor can't be available.
Walmart?
So a line at the checkout line, a line at the CBCT. We want to schedule. So I love to have a morning and an afternoon.
Yeah. Available. I like to have early morning, mid morning. Like I break the day down into four sections, early morning, mid morning, early afternoon, late afternoon.
Yeah. We no longer have late afternoon since we
in our practice, but our version of late afternoon is 1 to 3.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I like when I look at when I'm going to offer patients, I like to have a morning and an afternoon availability. So that would mean at least 2 blocks within the next 2 weeks.
Perfect. All right, so let's keep going. Let's pretend somebody's saying, you know what, I've got blocks, I've got enough new patients coming through. That's not the reason. You know, we can argue that they need the right new patients come through, but that's a different argument for a different day. What would be next, Meredith?
Yeah, so I would say the next thing the doctors feel like could be where they're missing out would be, you know, they haven't gone through their fees in probably a couple years, so they're not charging enough. Does that sound familiar?
Well, why are you trying to call me out? No, we check our fees.
Yeah, once a year.
We check our fees once a year, and we negotiate with those insurance companies who can. So we do check, but there are certain fees I haven't raised in a little bit, like my implant fees.
I was thinking. Yeah. We're probably the most reasonable single implant in all of Raleigh.
In all of America, maybe. So, you know, bad is undercharging and discounting because you feel bad for somebody.
Yeah.
Bad is never updating your fees because you have a self-limiting belief that your patients can't afford it.
Or we're just busy and you forget.
Yeah. You know, and good is knowing your value.
Yeah.
Understanding that things have cost more and therefore your fees have to go up. And the other part of this is considering bundling services. In other words, would you like to add fluoride with that? Mm-hmm. You know, things like that are the real answer to some of the fee challenges that we're facing today. You know, I know what you're thinking, because I think these things too is, hey, my patients won't pay those fees. And my response is, really? How do you know? I mean, Chick-fil-A's raised their fees. Chipotle's raised their fee. And I know people have to eat, but nobody says they have to eat at Chick-fil-A or Chipotle. And those businesses are doing just fine. Yeah. And people understand that fees go up. They may not be happy about it, but the reality is, what's their alternative? They're going to have to go find a new home, a new dental practice, start all over again. And they probably charge the same, you know, as much, if not more anyway.
Yeah.
So,
you can't have case fees. You can't bundle these services and give a slight discount when we do offer, you know, a full case fee, it's usually a little bit of a discount. But
yeah, already.
Right. We can't offer that and do that if our fees are already low.
Yeah.
Because then our case fees should be higher than our original fees.
Absolutely. So, Meredith, why don't we go through a couple of scripts on this and kind of give them some actionable service. So what would something bad, like, hey, I come in, let's pretend I need a crown. What would a bad conversation around fees look like?
Yeah. So, hey, T-Bone, it looks like you need this crown the doctor recommended on the lower right. That's going to be about $2,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, dentistry is surprisingly expensive. Okay,
I need to think about it.
Okay, no problem. We're here whenever you're ready.
I just want people to understand the reason I paused there, it's so bad. Yeah. Like, I didn't even know. I'm like, in my mind, why is Meredith doing this so bad?
But that's probably what's happening.
Right, because as a patient, like, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, well, I can't afford $2,000. I guess I just don't get it done. Yeah. All right, let's go through what good looks like there. Okay. So, I need this crown. Same crown.
Okay. All right. T-Bone, Dr. A recommended this crown on the lower left. Altogether, it's going to be about $2,500. Here is the payment options that we offer. We're happy to break it down for you. And if you have any questions or need help getting approved, I'm here to support you.
So I noticed on here you have something like this can be done with no interest. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So based on your credit, if you know anything about that, we are able to get some of our partners we work with are able to do no interest plans.
Yeah, I'd love to look at that. What's the next step there?
Yeah. So if you have a copy of your license, I'd be happy to, if you have a few minutes while you're here, I'd be happy to go ahead and pull it up and see what they can do for you.
Yeah. So see how much better that is. And notice that she just told me my crown was $2,500 versus $2,000.
Yeah, but it could be as low as $100, $200 a month.
Even less. So if I were to critique you there, Meredith, I would have
had to pause because I almost said, what did I almost say? Finance or a loan, you know, I want to say a plan or payment options. Yeah. I don't want to use those real terms because those are terms just like insurance. Like we balk at insurance, patients balk at interest, loans, finance.
So what I would to build on what you said there is number one, we don't call it financing. We call it payment plans.
Yep.
Number two, I would have added as low as whatever the lowest dollar amount.
I was trying to think about what it'd be. I can't do the math in my head like you can.
$50. Yeah. Right. You know, I would add that in there. And then once the patient says, tell me about that, I say, well, great. I would move them to applying.
Right.
I said, great. It's a quick application. Let's do that now. I wouldn't ask, do you want to do it now?
Do you have a few minutes?
Because I would be like, no, I don't have a few minutes. Right. I want to get the hell out of here.
I'd be like, leave me your license and go. You can pick it back up later.
So let me leave you with a statement here because this is important, okay? Is if you're scared to say your price, your patients are probably going to be scared to pay your price. So what that means is get comfortable with your fee. Believe that you're worth your fee. Believe in your fee. And people will go along with it. People find a way for the things they want. Like I wanted a Cybertruck. I went and found a way to get a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's ugly. I know there's politics behind it, but I just like the way the truck
drives you.
It drives me around. And the Model Y wasn't available yet. Yeah. And I wanted a truck that day. There we go.
Well, that's pricing. You know, that pricing is pretty standard. This is our price. This is how we can pay for it. But production per patient is kind of something we want to get into next, which is you've heard production per patient in reports for years, right?
Well, maybe they haven't. I have.
Well, I just think in dentistry, you've heard production per patient forever.
Yeah.
Okay. But it really goes hand in hand with what we talk about. And the modern way of that is fewer well-planned visits.
Yeah.
And that's what we talk about in our mastermind, because fewer well-planned visits is higher production per patient. That's really what it is. So let's kind of talk about not doing enough dentistry on each patient.
Yeah, so I look at that in two ways. So you touched on way number one, which is, hey, I've got XYZ skill set, whatever positives and negatives of that are, and I need to do more on. I need to do more dentistry on one patient at a time. I just need to do more dentistry, okay, on the patient. The other part of that I had early in my career was, I didn't have the skills to do more than drill, fill, and bill. I was a Dr. DFB. Right. And so part of that is, bad is part of it is, hey, I'm a single tooth dentist. Okay. Well, now let's make you a quadrant dentist.
Right.
That's how to do more on less patients. But all the second part of bad is I send out all the things that pay well. I send out molar endo. I send out extraction grafts. I send out third molars. I send out implants. I send out ortho. I send out everything that everybody else makes money. I pay for everybody else's life, and I keep all the less profitable, productive procedures for myself.
And less fun.
And well, that's
a little bit
relative.
Yeah.
The other, I did one.
Some people.
I did five fillings yesterday.
That's probably more than you've done all year.
Probably more than I did last year.
Yeah.
And but you know, the patient was under general anesthesia, and I had to take out three teeth, place two implants, and do six crowns and five fillings on them, and I was like, while doing the filling, I was like, this is, I don't want to use the word fun, but this was just mindless.
Yeah.
I just kind of, and it, what was amazing, it just all came back.
Me. I was going to say, it's like riding a bike.
It's all coming back. Isn't there a song, It's All Coming Back
to
Me Now? We should have that as the theme song. So now let's pretend, look, we've talked to a blue in the face about fewer well-planned visits. So I don't really want to go down that road in this episode, Meredith.
Yeah.
You know, just search it. Fewer well-planned visits, T-Bone, you know, on T-Bone Speaks.
Or
Dentistry Made Simple. There's five podcasts on it.
Yeah. We could probably, it's probably time for a new one.
Good is reclaiming one procedure that you're sending out. I made a big deal last year with almost all of our mastermind doctors last year about doing endo. And what blew my mind was it was important to me to make it important to them. And all of them started doing an average of $4,000 or $5,000 a month in endo that they weren't doing before by getting focused on it. And, you know, pick one procedure. It can be cheap or even free CE. I extracted three molars yesterday. And guess what? I had a dental student there. And the dental student says, can I take the molars because I want to practice learning how to do endo on them?
Oh, yeah.
And it reminded me that I said, you know what, I'll give you one of the three. I'm going to give two to my associate. So Dr. Pyle wants to re-engage learning to do endo.
Yeah.
And so he needed teeth. Yeah. So I said, I'll give you one. And we'll
we have to divvy these used teeth out, gosh.
They were really good molars. I mean, that pair.
They were all in one piece.
And I just popped them right out. Took them out in one piece, luckily. And then, you know, the other part of this is getting data. I'm a big believer in data, and one of the things that we're tracking is what we refer out in our practices. So keep a weekly referral log, and that'll tell you what procedures you need. Like some of us will say, "What do I need to do next?" I'm like, "Well, tell me what you're sending out. Go learn that." So
yeah, that's kind of what I tell doctors when they're trying to figure out what's next for implants with our advanced course. I'm like, what are you referring out most? What does your practice need the most?
Yeah,
well,
so
I think if we, you know, we've already talked about not doing enough per patient, your pricing, all of that, but none of it really matters if we're not closing.
Yeah.
So let's kind of get into not closing the treatment that you're presenting.
Yeah, before we go there, I want to leave everybody with, I'm trying to leave them with a statement, you know, I'm trying to like really, I want them
truth
to hear.
Truth bombs, yeah.
I want them to
mic
think
drops.
About it. Mic drops. Yeah, truth bomb, mic drops. Is on this one is if you only do what you're good at now, you will always only earn what you're earning now. And the reality is it'll probably get less over time. So part of my ability to earn more, part of your ability to earn more, Meredith, has been our ability and willingness to learn new things.
Right.
You know, we got to learn new tricks. And so I can't impress upon each other, you know, everybody listening enough that you got to learn new tricks. And that's what we're here at. One of the things we do very well at 3D Dentists is we help you learn new tricks and we help you learn it in a way that you can actually implement in your practice. So if you're ready to learn new tricks, dental, clinical tricks,
yes.
Okay, please give us a call here at 3D Dentist.
I don't know. We might could include like some circus acts and some CE. Bring somebody in if they need to learn new tricks.
What's next, Mary?
Yeah, so let's get into not closing what you present. I think case acceptance, you know, actually, what we say is you want lower case acceptance on more dentistry, but a lot of times you hear doctors say, oh, we have really good case acceptance, but then we kind of run reports and we see that the case acceptance because your schedule's full does not mean that we're closing all of the dentistry that we're presenting.
Yeah, you know, bad, you know, I feel like a broken record again, but bad is word vomit, not having photos, going through all these confusing options like, hey, Meredith, you can do an implant, you can do a partial, you can do a bridge. Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Like, that's not helping people make a choice. That's just vomiting choices out to somebody.
It's not guiding people either. It's just telling them.
Yeah. So what are some boosters what are some things that people can do to boost some simple things they can do to boost their case acceptance?
Well, I think first starting with photos is number one.
Yeah.
I think communication and confidence in their communication is probably number two.
So they got to put practice at that.
Yeah. Role playing.
Yeah.
We laugh all the time because people are like, oh, my team doesn't want to role play. I'm like, I want to role play with my team. We have some of our funniest inside jokes from role playing. In Sully's office, they did it in Halloween costumes.
Yeah, I can only
which is a great idea. We should block out half of Halloween to do that. But also, like, that's where you gain your confidence. I don't want to fumble in front of the patients. I want to fumble in front of my people to gain that confidence.
When somebody says to me their team doesn't want to do role playing, like, I already know there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because that means there's no practice. You're not practicing.
I was just going to say, like, they just want to go play the game.
Yeah.
So that's hard. And then firm financial arrangements, payment options in a menu, and then the four promises, like just letting patients know that everything's going to be written in front of them.
Yeah, that's good. So now let's move to what does a bad closing conversation sound like?
Like I said earlier, just let us know when you're ready. Think about it. Let us know.
So
we're here.
So if I say I need to think about it, you're saying a bad response would be?
I totally understand. Just think about it and we're here when you're ready.
That's
probably what we say a lot.
So what would good look like there?
So good would be just moving them one step further.
So give me an example.
Like, I know this is a lot. This is something you probably need to look at. I know you mentioned that. But if it's okay with you, I would love to go ahead and get you set up to see kind of what payment options would look like or what we could get you approved for.
Yeah. So that's like, you know, that's moving people a little bit further along. That's planting seeds.
Yeah.
Like at some point, I hopefully will need to get it done, have to get it done, or want to get it done.
And selfishly, I have you in front of me. If I don't make that next step forward, I have to bring you back in and start all over again.
You know, I use the word influential communication. I just did that on my coaching call. I kind of taught Patrick kind of how I'm influencing patients to, and not convincing them.
No.
You know, it comes from goodness, is I'm influencing people to want to see the whole plan. And that isn't manipulation. It's leadership.
Yeah.
You know, because I believe that you should see the whole plan. Like, I don't want a doctor to only tell me one or two things that are wrong. Give it to me. Tell me what's going on and then give me a plan on how we tackle all of this. You know, so if you're not willing to lead, don't be shocked if your patients don't follow you along. I mean, that's, you know, it's not surprising. So let's end with the mic drop on this one and then we'll keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And I want this, I want people, I'm pausing for effect. I want
thinking
people,
about it.
I want people to really understand what I'm about to say is, if you won't guide them to yes, somebody else will. If you won't guide them to yes, somebody else will. And I want to say that from two perspectives. Number one, you could lose the patient. They'll go somewhere else, get their implants. They'll come to someone like me. They'll go to someone else and get their cosmetic work.
They'll go to the oral surgeon.
They'll go to the cosmetic dentist and get the work done because they didn't think you did it.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what I was thinking of, actually.
Or if you as the dentist don't lead by example with your team will lead them to the yes that they're comfortable getting them to, which is probably what has been one tooth at a time in your practice. And if you're okay with that, great. You're probably, you know, you listen to this podcast, so clearly you're not okay with that. But just remember, if you won't guide them to yes, or if you're incapable of guiding them to a yes, somebody else will. And in the beginning, I used to do the talking until I transferred it to Melinda at the time, then to Megan and to various people along the way. That's been important. So
Yeah, well, we've gotten through kind of the four
What
reasons.
Are the four things again? Just kind of recap those for us.
Yeah, so the four things are not having enough new patients, not charging enough, so our pricing, not doing enough per patient, fewer well-planned visits, and then not closing what you present and case acceptance.
Okay.
So, like, listening to those, thinking like, oh, that's us, you know, not me attacking you, but saying, does maybe not even saying that's me, but like, that sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
We always joke like, we're just less worse.
Yeah.
So maybe let's reverse that and say, which one are you less good? which one are you less better at? I know that's not right, but,
I don't really have, I've thought about this and I'm going to make a point from this one. I don't think we're bad at any of these things.
Right. So which ones are you less good at in your practice?
Yeah, I think the reality is I want to get 10% better at each of these things.
At all of them. Yeah.
And I'm convinced that if I look at it from a perspective of if I just got a little bit better at each of those things, if I did the work to get a few more new patients through the practice, if I learned to do focus on fewer well-planned visits and took the time to have that conversation, if I truly charged what I'm worth and what the market will bear, and then if I worked on the training the team a little bit more to close just that one extra case per month, that would put us over the hump.
Yeah.
That would put your practice over the hump of the 100K per month so that you don't feel like you're working your butt off and broke all the time or just barely putting things together. So, you know, look, you don't need to burn it all down. Just get 10% better in each area. Focus on your flow. Focus on your fleas.
Fleas? I was like, whoa. I mean, you can focus on your fleas, too, if you have them. Well, you probably should.
Focus on your flow. Focus on your fees.
Your fees and your flow together is fleas.
Focus on your procedures and focus on your closing rate. That's how you improve revenue and start decreasing the financial stress in your life. Look, you don't need more time. You need better execution. There, like I cannot stress that enough. You don't need more time. You need better execution. When I was 45-minute hygiene visits, we needed more time. When I went to 50-minute hygiene visits, they needed more time. I moved to 1-hour hygiene visits. They still tell me they need more time. You know, when I was one person, when I was front desklessness without any people at the front, when it was just my assistant and me, we needed somebody at the front. When I got one person at the front, we needed another person at the front. Now that I'm three people at the front, they tell me we need a fourth. You know, the reality is we just need better execution. And that takes leadership.
Yeah.
To do better execution.
Well, let's leave everybody with a challenge for the next 30 days. What do you think we can challenge these doctors to for the next 30 days?
Start training on one new procedure.
Okay.
Just start. Whether that's watching a YouTube video, going to your specialist's office and watching them do it, going to a buddy's office, watching them do it, you know, getting booked for the class here at 3D Dentist, of course.
Take the CE.
Just start training on one procedure.
Things we don't offer.
Yeah, of course. Go learn from somebody else. Yeah. I mean, we offer all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
The things that move the needle for sure. Audit your last five treatment plans that you put together in your practice. Audit them for completeness. Audit them for the flow and the fleas. Audit them for the flow and audit them for the outcome of that and be introspective about what went well, what didn't go well, and how you could improve those things. And then from a new patient perspective, you know, I'll say insurance is my second option. So I will say learn where your marketing dollars are going and what outcome it's getting. And if it's getting nothing, like one of the things I hear, I spend $1,000 a month on SEO. I'm like, is it working? I don't know. Well, find out, turn it off and see what happens. And, you know, and then spend that $1,000 somewhere else on something that you can. I'm not saying SEO doesn't work. I'm just saying like.
Just make sure it's working.
Make sure it's working.
Get reports. And
so, all right, friends, let's leave it there. Remember, the goal isn't just great dentistry. It's building a business that delivers excellence for your patients and creates freedom and security for you, your family, and your team. Don't settle for anything less than that for yourself. And if you want strategy, accountability, and a real community of other like-minded dentists, that is exactly what we do here at 3D Dentists. If you're already a family member, get deeper engaged. Good things will come from it. If you've been a pseudo family member by listening on the podcast, share it with others and then come join the family in person. Okay. And if you've been on the fence about us, just come in, see what we're all about. I promise you nobody's going to bite you. Like we got rid of the biters.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have fleas, so we're good.
So we're good. So yeah. Thanks for listening. Go lead well, serve boldly, and we will see you guys all next week.